And today we're going to talk about faith, that faith works by love. And I remember that I shared in December a message about two things that you can do while you are in a storm. And that when Jesus gets in your boat, he gets in your boat to bless you, not to impress you. And I just want to continue with that because back in December, I was talking to you about the first thing that we learned was to rest in the Lord. So on one side, we need to learn how to rest. And the key word is learn. We need to learn. Many of us, we think that we know how to rest, but sometimes we don't, and we need to learn. So that was the first part. You need to learn how to rest. And then on the second part, we learned that we need to speak to the storms of life. That means that on one side, we need to learn how to rest. And the other one, we need to learn how to speak in faith. And then I think I shared the word of God with you like 2 months ago. And we were sharing that God is a giver. And when you learn that God is a giver, you are learning how to rest in the Lord because he's a giver. God is not a stingy God. God is not holding anything back from you. He wants to give you. He has given to you. So he's a giver. And tonight, so that was, you need to learn how to rest in the Lord and that he's a giver. And then tonight we want to speak about faith, not so much in the speaking part, but in the doing part. And the word of God says that faith works by love. Now, let's go to Galatians 5, 6. I'm going to read that verse, and then we're going to pray and start with the teaching tonight. Galatians 5, 6 says, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Faith working through love. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our teacher and he guides us to all truth. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit that revealed to us the things to come. And thank you, Lord, because we have the mind of Christ. We are intelligent and we have an excellent memory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I start teaching on faith works by love, let me tell you something that I think is going to help us to understand what I'm trying to teach tonight. Every promise from the Lord, there's more than 6,000 promises in the Bible. Every promise in the Bible has two parts or two sides, two parts. On one part of the promise, it's what the Lord has to do or has done for you. On the other side of the promise is what you are supposed to do. That's your part. So every promise, let's say, for example, healing, that's a promise from the Lord. On one part, it's what the Lord has done about your healing. And on the other part is what you have to do in order for you to experience healing. On one side, the Lord has already healed us. That's what the Bible says. And on the other side, you have to do something about this promise to live in health. And some people spend their time trying to convince God to heal them when God has already healed them. So every promise in the Bible has two parts. The part that the Lord has to do and the part that you have to do. And guess what? You don't have to worry about God's part. He always, always does his part. You don't have to worry about him. He will do it all, every time. On every promise that he has told you, he will always perform or do his part. You have to worry about your part. Let's go back to healing. That's the example. There's people that spend more time trying to convince God to heal them, trying to convince God to do something that he has already done, instead of doing their part. What's their part in healing? Convincing yourself that you are already healed. Now, I started teaching at Rema school when I was 28 years old. And one of the first classes that I taught was Christ the Healer. And how do you convince yourself that you are healed? You have to read the Word of God. You have to read the healing scriptures. You have to believe them. You have to be convinced that God has already healed you. And I'm telling you, I have seen a lot of Christians. When I was a teacher in the school, in the Bible school, there was a lot of students trying to convince God to heal them, but he has already healed you. You have to convince yourself that, God, show me in your word that I'm already healed. Help me to believe that I'm already healed. I don't know about you, but I believe that I'm healed. That I'm not planning to go to a hospital. I'm not planning to be to have surgeries on me. Nothing. And you can ask my wife. Since I became a Christian, I haven't missed one day at my job or work because I was sick. Not even one day, because I believe that God has already healed me. You have to. Now, I'm talking about me. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to help you. That every promise from God has two parts. The part that God has to do, and then the part that you have to do. And in order for you to be convinced of the promise of the Lord, you have to read the Word of God. And it's going to help you. Especially talking about healing. Now, I'm not saying that I haven't been sick in this 26 years of being a Christian, 24. But I'm saying that whenever I get symptoms, what I do is I start telling my body that he is healed. Because that's what the Lord has done already. He has healed me. And I believe it. So I spend time convincing myself of this truth. And that's my part. Now let's go back to Galatians 5:6. And I'm telling you this because there's something that we're going to learn tonight, talking about faith, that is going to help you. And it says here, Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. This means that for your faith to work, you must walk in love. I will say it again. For your faith to work, you must walk in love. Loving your neighbor, loving your enemies. You know that's what the Bible says, right? Loving yourself. Well, that's hard on some people. Loving yourself and loving the Lord. So how does faith work? Because we are in a faith church. I mean, Pastor Ed was talking about faith on Sunday. And I spent 4 years here coming to Redeeming Love from 1996 to 2001, almost 5 years. And I heard so many messages on faith. So this is a faith church. So how does faith work? Works by love. Brother Hagen used to say, whenever I see that my faith is not working, I always check my love walk. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if this has happened to you, but it has happened to me. That there's sometimes that it seems that my faith is not working on something. Maybe you believe in God for something, and it seems that it's not working. So Brother Hagen used to say, whenever I see that my faith is not working, like I'm not getting my healing, or I'm not getting this or that, I'm not getting what I'm believing for, I always check my love walk. How am I doing in loving my neighbor, my enemies, myself, or just people around me? And he will check his love walk because faith works through love. Faith works by love. Let me ask you another question. How many of you love the Lord? That's an important question. And probably everybody that is listening to me right now will say, obviously, I love the Lord. If somebody asks me, Enrique, do you love the Lord? I will tell you, yes, I love the Lord. So tonight we're going to take a test to see if you really love the Lord. No, I'm just kidding about a test. Nobody wants to take a test tonight. But remember, faith works by love. This means that love is what makes your faith effective. Do you want to have an effective faith? Then you have to walk in love. That means that love is really important when we are talking about faith. And let's read the word of the Lord to see what is it that I'm talking about. This is going to help you a lot. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And we are going to read from verse 15 through 17. John 21, 15 through 17, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, I love the Bible, I love Jesus. It says, when they have eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, I love the word of God and I love Jesus because it says that after they have eaten breakfast. Have you noticed that Jesus was always having lunch? He was even criticized because they said he hangs out with people that love to eat. And I love to eat. So that means Jesus is hanging out with me. It says that after they have eaten breakfast. So he waited for them to have breakfast. I don't know, maybe they had some over easy with bacon and home fries. Maybe not. But he waited until after breakfast, and Jesus started speaking to Simon Peter. And he said, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? That's a really interesting question. Not only Jesus was asking, do you love me? But he said, do you love me more than this? Apparently, there was more people there. And Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? Maybe there were the other disciples. More than this? That's a really interesting question. And then let's continue reading. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Wow. In these verses, there's the word love. You find it there 7 times. So Jesus is talking about love. And it's really interesting that here's Jesus, obviously after they have eaten breakfast. And I don't know if he said, Peter, let's take a walk. And maybe they started walking a little bit further than the other disciples. And then he looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me more than this? And the obvious answer from Peter is, yes, I love you, Lord. And what was the response from Jesus? Jesus didn't say, wow, Peter, thank you for telling me that you love me. You know, Peter, it blesses me that you're telling me that you love me. Wow. Wow, thank you. You know, it makes me feel really, really good inside of me when you tell me that you love me. That Jesus didn't say none of that. Let's see. Jesus, three times he asked the same question. Peter, do you love me? Now, I know that we can teach these verses saying that Jesus wanted to restore Peter because, you know, he denied Jesus 3 times, and that's obviously correct. But let's stay with what Jesus is saying right here for one moment. Let's just think what he is saying right here. Because every time Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? The answer from Peter was, yes, Lord, I love you. And then Jesus will tell him something to do. Did you notice that? Every time after the question, Peter, do you love me? And the obvious answer was, yes, Lord, I love you. And then immediately Jesus told Peter that he needed to do something. So apparently, for Jesus to know that you love him, you must do something. apparently, for Jesus to know that you love him, you have to do something for him. It is not enough to tell Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Now, it's not, I'm not saying that it's wrong to tell Jesus, Jesus, I love you. I do it. I tell Jesus that I love him. But apparently, in these three questions, for Jesus to know that you love him, you have to do something. Just imagine with me for a second that Jesus is in front of you. That it's in front of Pastora Jesse, or in front of me, Enrique, and he comes to me and says, Enrique, do you love me? And my answer obviously is going to be, yes, Lord, I love you. I remember that Brother Hagen said that one day Jesus spoke to him and said, go and teach my people faith. Now, let's go back to Jesus asking me, Enrique, do you love me? And my answer is, yes, Lord, I love you. And then Jesus will say, go and teach my people faith. And then Jesus will ask, Enrique, just imagine with me that he's talking to you. I don't know if there's a specific thing that the Lord wants you to do. Probably there is one thing that he's asking you to do, because he has done it with me. Enrique, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Go back to Mexico and teach my people faith. Enrique, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Go back to New York and teach my people faith. Enrique, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Go back to RLCC and teach my people faith. Enrique, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Go back. Go back. Go back. And sometimes I want to tell the Lord, I always have to go back. When do I get to go forward? When do I get to do what I want to do? I don't know if somebody's getting it. Because anytime Jesus asks you if you love him, he's going to tell you to do something. He's going to do it. If you tell Jesus that you love him, he's going to tell you to do something. It's been a year and a half that my wife and I are living in New York, and we were supposed to open the Spanish church last May, and we didn't do it because of the whole thing of the pandemic and everything. And it's been a year and a half that I haven't been a pastor in a church, preaching every Sunday, preaching during the week, and it feels good just to be at home for 18 months, not doing, not because I don't like it or because I don't want to do it, but it feels good that we haven't done it for 18 months. And now that we're getting ready to start the church again in August 15, Redeeming Love in Español, everybody, you are welcome to come. Todos los que hablan español, bienvenidos aquí en Nanuet, Nueva York, para el servicio en español. And we're getting ready. And I remember like 3 or 4 months ago, I was talking to the Lord while I was driving. And I was feeling almost to the point of crying. Because, you know, it feels good not to do the church thing, let's say it. I hope nobody misunderstands me, but it feels good. And I was telling my wife, maybe I don't want to go back and be a pastor. Remember? Go back. And now the Lord is telling me, go back and be the pastor again. And I was telling her, maybe I don't want to go back. And I remember that day I was driving, And the Lord was telling me, not exactly like Peter, Enrique, do you love me? But you know what? I was telling the Lord, Lord, I love you. And then he told me, are you going to open the church, the Spanish church? And I started crying. And I told the Lord, I don't want to do it. Because in my flesh, in my soul, I don't want to do it. I just want to continue living this simple life, not to worry about church or anything. And I don't know, it felt good not to do it for 18 months. And I told the Lord, you know, Lord, I love you. And you know, this is what I told Jesus. And you know that I'm going to do it. You know that I'm going to do it. Because I have always done it. What you asked me to do, I have always done it. I'm going to do it. But in my flesh, I don't want to do it. I just want to, wake up on a Sunday and say, oh, today I'm not going to church. But when you are a pastor, you can now wake up on a Sunday and say, let's go to IHOP. And then you remember, oh, I'm the pastor. I have to be there. You know? And that's just a really simple thing. But there's obviously a great responsibility to be a pastor. So when we say or when we sing that we love the Lord, is that the greatest evidence that we love Jesus? When we are in church, raising our hands and worshiping him and saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. And singing. I'm not going to sing because obviously I don't know how to sing. But when we scream to him, Jesus, I love you. Is that the greatest evidence that I love the Lord? Nope. Now, it is okay to sing to the Lord. It is okay to tell Jesus that you love him. Please tell him. Don't stop telling him that you love him. But the question is that the greatest evidence that you love the Lord? It is not. The greatest evidence that you love the Lord, the greatest evidence that you love the Lord is doing what he told you to do. When Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me? And Peter was answering, yes, Lord, I love you. That wasn't enough for Jesus. Jesus didn't say, oh, perfect. That's all I needed to hear, that you love me. That's enough. Let's go. No. Immediately, Jesus told Peter that he needed to do something. So the greatest evidence that you love the Lord is doing what he told you to do. It means then that love is more than saying that you love the Lord. When you love the Lord, it means that you are going to do what he's telling you to do. And remember, faith works by love. If your faith is not working, maybe you are not loving the Lord. Because loving the Lord means that you are doing what he's telling you to do. And you know, as well as I do, that there's things that the Lord is asking the whole church that we need to do. And there are specific things that he's asking each one of us. What he is asking me is probably different than what he's asking you to do. And obviously, I don't know what is it that he's asking you to do. Specifically, you probably don't know all the things. Not probably, you don't know all the things that the Lord is asking me to do. Whenever you tell Jesus that you love him, he will ask you to do something. I'm going to repeat that. Whenever you tell Jesus that you love him, he will ask you to do something. Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready to tell him that you love him? Faith works by love. If love, then, is the key for faith, then loving the Lord is the most important thing. That's the important issue. To love the Lord is more important than to know about healing, or to know about prosperity, or to know about prophecy. To love the Lord is the most important thing. The important question then is, do you love Jesus? And how do we know if we love the Lord? It's when we do what he's telling us to do. I remember one day, I'm going to tell you this testimony. And obviously, what I'm going to say is not, I'm not telling you that the Lord is going to ask you to do the same thing. Okay, because obviously he is going to ask you to do different things than what he's asking me to do. But I remember one day I was driving from my house to the office in Mexico and to the church, because the church was my office also. So I was driving, and that day there was a group of ladies praying. It was around 1 o'clock p.m., at the church. So I was driving, and the Lord told me, you are going to go to the bank right now. That's what the Lord told me. And you're going to take all your money from your account. And you're going to take that money and give it to those ladies that are praying at the church. I remember that I almost crashed my car. And I say, I rebuke that voice. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, it was the first time that the Lord was asking me to do something like this. Now, obviously, I didn't have $2 million in the bank. Obviously not. But it was all the money that I had. So the Lord told me, go to the bank, take out all the money that you have, and you will go to the church and find those group of ladies and give it to them. And there was silence, just like right now. No, I was just trying to see, I don't know, maybe I'm just going crazy. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So I started driving to the bank. I went to the bank, got all the money out. I went to the church. And yeah, there were some ladies praying. I was hoping that there was nobody there, you know, that day. And so I started praying with them, because that was the hour of prayer. And at the end, we started holding hands, and I asked them, because they were having like a women's conference like the next weekend, and I said, are you believing the Lord to buy your new dress, to do your hair, or I don't know, whatever? And the lady said, yeah, you know, they always wanted to buy dresses and do their hair. So all the ladies said, yeah, yeah. I said, okay. And this is what I did. I said, how much do you need? How much do you need? How much do you need? And they were telling me. I said, because the Lord wants to bless you. And they were telling me the amounts. And guess what? The amount was exactly what I took from the bank. And I gave it to them. And I said, this is what the Lord told me. Be a blessing. And I turned around and I ran to my office and I started crying. No, I'm just kidding. And I said, okay. And they were all happy. The ladies were like jumping up and down, saying, yeah. They were really happy. And I went to my office. And it felt good, you know, to obey the Lord. And then I remember walking through the hallway, going to the patio. A lady that wasn't there, she was an employee of the church. She wasn't in the prayer meeting. She told me, Pastor Enrique, I wasn't there. Can I get some of that money too? And I told her, you were supposed to be there. in the prayer meeting because you are an employee of the church and all the employees are required to be in the meeting and you weren't there. And guess what? All the money that I was supposed to give to the ladies were only to the ones that were there. And that's all I said to her. But the Lord told me, since she wasn't obedient, she wasn't doing what she was supposed to do, she didn't get the blessing. What's the greatest evidence that you love the Lord? Doing what He's telling you to do. And believe me, if you do what the Lord is asking you to do, He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Let's finish with these verses in John 14. John chapter 14. Oh, I don't know how to open it. There's a door here. Thank you. Okay. Who loves the Lord? Let's see what the Word of God has to say. In John chapter 14, verse 21 says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Now, the Lord wants to reveal Himself to you because you love Him. And how do we know that you love Him? Because you love Jesus and the Father loves you. And how do we know that the Father loves you and Jesus loves you? Because you are doing His commandments, because you have accepted His commandments, and you are doing what He's telling you to do. It's real easy, right? How many of you want the Lord to reveal Himself to you? You know, one of the most common questions among Christians is, I want to know the will of the Lord. How do I know that the Lord is guiding me? Like I was telling you, I was the dean of the school in Mexico, Bible school, and the students will always come to me asking me, Pastor, how can I know the will of the Lord? They're basically asking me, how can I get God to reveal Himself to me? Well, here's the secret. Well, it's not a secret anymore because we read it already. He's telling you, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. That's the order. You accept His commandments, you obey His commandments, or you do His commandments, and that person loves the Lord, and the Lord will reveal Himself to that person. Let's continue reading. Verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to Him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us? Only to us and not to the world at large. Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord revealing Himself to everybody just because we're in the world? Nope. Judas is asking a question. Why are you going to reveal yourself only to us? That's why I was telling that there's a lot of Christians that they want the Lord to reveal himself to them, but he's not revealing himself to them because they are not doing what the Lord is telling them to do, which means they're not loving the Lord, and which means that their faith is not working or is not being effective because they are not doing what the Lord is asking them to do. I hope this is clear to you. I hope this is helping you. And my advice to you is to take some time tonight, and you already know what the Lord told you to do. You already know. I don't know because I'm not God, so I don't know all things. But you already know. The Lord already asked you something to do. You know what? Sometimes we don't do things out of pride. I remember when I was only like 22 years old in this church that I went into the bathroom and the Lord told me, give that young man $40. I hope he's not watching this live streaming because I still owe him $40. And the Lord told me, give him $40. And you know what I felt? I said, $40 is too little. And that's pride. Because I didn't want him to feel like, what is this? $40? Come on, you don't have more than $40 to give me? And that's pride. You know that if you want to learn how to speak another language, you have to get rid of pride. That's why people don't learn it, because they're prideful and they don't want somebody else to laugh at them because they are not doing the correct pronunciation. Probably I'm not pronunciating in this whole sermon correctly. Probably not. And that's okay. That's okay. We have to get rid of pride. And you know what? I never gave that young man the $40. And I walked out of that bathroom and went into my car and left this church and never saw him again. And then I went back to Mexico. And the next time that the Lord told me to do something like that, I did it. And I said, Lord, I will never, never disobey you. I will never do it again. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. You can ask me again. I will do it. Okay, I will do it. And I remember one day, I was at a party in Mexico, and I was wearing a nice watch. I like watches. Now with the iWatch, I hardly wear my other watches. And I sat at a table, and a man across the table said, oh, your watch is really nice. And immediately the Lord told me, give your watch to that man. And I said, Lord, I haven't even started eating. You're already asking me to give this guy something? That's what I told him, in my spirit. I was just talking to the Lord. And then this is what the man said to me. Can I borrow your watch? Let me see if it fits my hand. So he took it, and it was perfect on his wrist. And I'm like, and I said, it's yours. The Lord told me to give it to you. And I can tell you so many stories like that I have done what the Lord told me to do. Praying for the sick. I remember one day I was shopping to get on a car, and I went into a dealership. I was just standing there with my wife and my kids, and the salesperson, it was a lady, she was showing us the cars, and the Lord told me, talk to her about me. And I said, Lord, there's a lot of people here. Everybody is going to start hearing, and me talking to her about Jesus, that's not going to sound right. You know, pride. And it's like, you know, it's like the Lord went like this, okay, don't do it then. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So she was just, now this happening, in seconds, that I'm talking to the Lord, the lady's talking to me, telling me about cars, and the Lord is telling me, talk to her about me. And she's talking about me, about cars and prices and everything. And I said, Jesus, I don't want to talk to her about you. I mean, I'm buying a car here. And okay, I said, okay. So I said, do you believe in Jesus? And the lady, she's like, what kind of question is that? You know, that's her face went like that. And I said, yeah, you know, Jesus loves you. And I started sharing the message with her. And after like 10 minutes, she was crying. She was accepting the Lord, and this is what she told me. My mother passed away 2 months ago, and I was in deep depression. And I was just feeling really sad. And I was asking God that I needed a sign of His existence, that I needed to know that there was somebody else that cares for me. And now you're talking to me about God and that Jesus loves me. And she was just crying. And then just I went home and that was great. So what's the greatest evidence that you love the Lord? Telling Him that you love Him? Singing to Him that you love Him? Those things are good and we should do it. But the greatest evidence that you love Jesus is doing what He's telling you to do. And if you start doing it, he's gonna keep telling you more things to do and more things. And you know, your life is going to be so exciting with Jesus. It's going to be amazing. It's not going to be boring. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to tell you one more story. So I think it's going to help you. My cousin passed away with COVID 2 weeks ago. In January, he called me and said, Primo, cousin, I need to talk to you. Now, I didn't see my cousin for 20 years while I was in Mexico. And he called me. And he told me that he had a dream. Because his mother passed away a year ago with COVID. And in the dream, his mother told him, call your primo Enrique. Because he has words of life. Now, they didn't know. Well, obviously, they know that I'm a pastor, but I haven't spoken to him in 20 years. And he called me. That was the dream. I need you to come. I went to his house. I'm going to make the story short. I went to his house, and he's like, in the dream, my mother told me that you had words of life for me. I shared with him the gospel. I started talking to him every week, and he just passed away 2 weeks ago. And you know what? When he called me, I didn't want to go. I live in Far Rockaway, and he lives in Astoria. And I was working. It was around 6 o'clock p.m. And I wanted to have dinner. And I didn't want to go. And he was a really, you know, he wasn't like the most nicest guy. He was, sometimes he was mean. And I said, I'm going to go. And I went. And just to know now that he's with the Lord, I'm like, Lord, thank you. Because you use me to share your gospel with somebody else. I just pray over you that are watching. Let's pray. God, help us to see your will. Lord, we love you. And we want to do things for you. And we want you to do things through us. Reveal, Lord, yourself to us. And help us to obey what you are telling us to do. Lord, thank you. Because you did so much for us that anything we do is not even compared to all the things that you have done to bless us. Lord, we want to be people that love you, that obey your word, that respect your word, that practice your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray over the people that are watching and listening. I know there's people right now. Maybe somebody's crying right now because you know what the Lord told you to do. And you need to do it. So I pray over you that you have the courage to do it. That the Holy Spirit is going to help you. That you're going to have the courage to do it. He's going to help you. He's going to give you the words to say. He is your helper. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Also, maybe there's somebody watching right now that you don't know the Lord. Maybe this is the first time that you're watching something like this. And you're asking yourself, well, what is this? Is this somebody talking about Jesus? I want to do a prayer. It's called the prayer of salvation. This prayer means that you are going to give your heart to the Lord. And that he's going to come to live inside of you, in your heart. And he's going to become your Lord. And he's going to help you to go through life. And this is a simple prayer. If you are ready to accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to do this prayer with me. Ask him, Lord Jesus, I come to you to ask you for your forgiveness. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead for my salvation, my justification. And right now, I want to ask you to come into my heart to save me. And thank you for forgiving all my sins. I give you my life, I give you my heart, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.